and it's time to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. Welcome back, Raise Nation. So good to be with you again. I always love connecting with our audience this way. We are everywhere. So if you're new, just find us on whatever podcast channel like you like best, because we're probably there. We stream on 10 channels, and give us a follow or a like or a subscribe or whatever we're doing with these podcast followings these days. If you've been with us before, thank you for making the show just such a fan favorite and so popular. We enjoy connecting or delivering content to you this way. And please be sure to see us at the AFP Icon Conference, because we'll be live and in person. So come up and say hello. But for today, we have a wonderful guest, somebody that I just admire in our space so, so much. He and his firm and everything that he's doing to impact all of you, to make impact in all of our communities. And I was excited to talk to him because it is that time of year of event season. And who else to talk, who better to talk to than Mr. Darren Port from Powered by Professionals. He is the CEO and founder. And boy, do I have some hard questions for him right now. Darren, welcome to Raise Nation Radio.
Dawn, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to talk to your audience.
Yeah, I'm excited about some of these questions that are burning on the top of my head. But before we get there, I know everybody probably wants to get to know you, and who better to deliver your elevator pitch than you. So just share whatever you'd like about Powered by Professionals, yourself, what you do there, how you founded it, and whatever you'd like to share personally so our audience can feel a little connected to you.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot, Dawn. Just a 2-second background is that when I was young, unfortunately, I lost my parents when I was much younger. And that kind of drove me to make a difference in the world. And I was trying to figure out how to do that. And I found myself volunteering at different nonprofit organizations in my 20s and fell in love with it, serving on different boards and young professional committees. And that kind of got me on this track where I said, how cool would it be if I could do that every day and help a lot of nonprofits as opposed to a couple at night and on the weekends? So I started Powered by Professionals, which is a fundraising and event management firm that was started in 2002. Really 2001, because right before 9/11, I wrote a business plan. But business has been around for, like I said, 22 years. And our business is in three silos. We have fundraising, and then fundraising is strategic fundraising, board development, and event fundraising, which is our biggest piece of the fundraising silo. And that's all about volunteer engagement, identification, engagement, and empowerment, which we'll talk about today. It looks like Dawn's got some questions for me on that. And then the second piece is our event management tools. So we do everything from galas to run walks to concerts to golf outings, any kind of major fundraising event that you're putting on, we can help with. And all the components that go in, that's everything from venue identification through scripting at the end. It's the auctions, it's the sponsorships, it's vendors and so on. So all those details. And then the last piece is technology and how to incorporate technology into everything we're doing, how to make it seamless, how to make it more effective, and how to make that user experience, wonderful for your donors and participants, and, you know, kind of the back office as well. So that's a little bit about us. And I'm excited to be on the show. And we're a national organization, so hopefully I'll get to meet some of you. Feel free to reach out if I can be of any help.
Yeah, it sounds like I need to do a podcast series with you, not just a podcast show. One of the things that I love about Powered by Professionals is a lot of what drives how you help your customers is data. You take a lot of data, you analyze a lot of data, you leverage the data. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole today, but can you just speak to that? Like, When did that start? Were you from the get-go back in 2001 say, all right, if we want to be efficient and effective, we are just going to track everything that we do? Or how did that all come about? Because I know you have like a data crew there that's just looking at the numbers all the time.
Yeah, well, I may have even started before the company because I was in the internet space for 7-8 years during the internet boom and got to live that. Took a company public in 1999, so I guess kind of coming from there, seeing what worked, what didn't work, and learning from that, and then deciding the importance of understanding where the donors are coming from, where the support has been in the past, and then leveraging technology. There's so much technology out there. It's actually exhausting, and nonprofits don't really have the resources to leverage it. You know, as much as it's there to help them, they don't have the resources to do the homework. So what we've tried to do is do the homework for some of our partners. And then when they come to us and we try to understand really what their needs are, we try to see what technology tools are available that we can suggest to them and then help them manage and run. But you know, internally for all the spots for fundraising, it's so incredibly important to understand the data from years past and where those dollars are coming from so that you can improve and also adjust as the markets change.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that our audience just perked up when you said, you know, there's so much technology, it's daunting, because I feel like there's a pressure right now for development directors, executive directors, fundraisers, just to get the technology piece right. Am I using my technology to its optimal, you know, capacity? What integrates with what? What do I need? What don't I need? Is it more efficient? Is it hurting me instead of helping me? All the things, right? And so I'm sure they appreciate just being validated by what you just said. And I agree. So I'm so glad that Powered by Professionals is here to vet things and help us make good decisions when we might not have the resources to do all that research ourselves. So I think you just struck a chord with our audience there, Darren. Before we get into some of today's topics, which is pretty exciting, you know, activating groups, it's just such a, it's right there in front of us, but yet it might not be something top of mind. And so we kind of forget about the groups that are right there that we can activate. And we're talking about volunteers and how to engage them. And that's just been a hot topic. I know we're presenting a session at the upcoming NATO conference, and we're talking a lot about activating groups. So I might have to send them this podcast before we do that presentation to see what you have to say. But what's the state of event fundraising right now? Because we all know what we went through, you know, events, then I won't use the P word, then no events, then virtual events, then back to events. And now we've been at it again for like a year and a half. What is the state of event fundraising right now?
Yeah, fundraising is booming from an event standpoint. There are the events are everywhere. They're happening furiously. I feel like we're busier than we've ever been as a company. But yes, there's, I feel like everyone's back. Very few are doing anything virtual, even if there's not even hybrid, which is kind of crazy. But, there are plenty of challenges, right? The challenge of this work from home world that we have adopted since the P word. And, since then we now have to adjust to who's in the office, who's not in the office, what are the right days of the week to be doing something, and how is that going to affect our event? So those are new situations, new challenges. Committees, which I think we're probably getting to this a little bit, but I'm going to jump into it now because I think it's appropriate, is, committees. I remember, and many of you may remember, you know, you'd go to the committee meeting and there'd be like 20 people there and you sit around the room and everyone share ideas and we go back and forth. And now it's like, well, we're not going to have a meeting in person. We'll do it on Zoom, right? And then half the people don't show up and then half the people have the camera off and then less and less people. So it's figuring out like, how do we keep these volunteers engaged, or how do we get them excited to stay involved? So we have to be more creative. The old things are just not working the same way. It's not like they don't work. It just don't work the same way anymore. And don't have too many meetings because people just don't want to do it anymore. I don't know why or what, but they don't. So you gotta get a little more creative. And I'm a big fan of putting people in the right roles. So if you think you have someone who's a volunteer that has the ability to make an impact with your organization, with your event, with whatever that is you have them involved with, it's figuring out how to elevate them the right way and then put them in a position that they can then maximize their involvement. You know, there are a few people like that, right? We each have a few. We got to really maximize those few. It's critical in with what's happening right now.
Yeah, I love the direction that you're going in, because just yesterday, I kind of said the same thing, but in a different scenario. I had the privilege to chat with some of the newer hires here at One Cause and just share some of my experience. And one thing that I said was, as you journey through your career at One Cause or not at One Cause, really focus in on your strengths and your skills and surround yourself with opportunities and roles and projects that speak to that, because that's where I'm at right now at One Cause. And then work is not work for me. It's my happy place. It's a place that brings me joy, and it's a place where I can contribute optimally to One Cause. So I think it's kind of the same thing, you know, find their skill set and run with that. So I think you touched on this a little, and activating groups is so important, whether it's your board or volunteers, but let's talk about volunteers. That's one way, I guess, to identify their strengths and create roles and opportunities around their strengths. But what advice can you give to nonprofits today to engage and activate their volunteer group? Because that's a group that could help them with drive impact.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. You know, Dawn, you bring a great point. And, you know, how what's going on at One Cause, we're trying to do the same thing at Powered by Professionals on, you know, how do we get people in the right seats so that they can be in their happy place, exactly like you said, and they're more productive as an employee in a company. And the same thing holds true when we're talking about these nonprofits, because the nonprofits are being driven. They have that the staff that's driving everything, but then they have these volunteers that are critical to their success. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a huge factor. And I'm now blanking on your question, which was a good one, about empowering these volunteers, right? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. How do you activate them? How do you engage them? You know, and yeah, just what are some tips? Because you're saying that, you know, it's not, these Zoom calls aren't working. So what does work?
I do think you do need to get on the one-on-one. You got to take the time. You got to find a little one-on-one time with them. And I think it comes back to what we just said a second ago, is that you got to figure out what are they really passionate about and how can they best help you? Help them help you. They don't know exactly how they can best help you. I have a lot of different examples. There's a board member. I've shared this example a number of times, but I don't think I've shared it with you, is that we have a board member of an organization just joined, really busy, big executive, super busy, no time for anything. Took me 2 months to get him on the phone. And I'm like, this guy, come on, just give me 5 minutes. So I get him on the phone. I don't waste any time. I get right into it. No time to, you know, sugarcoat it. I was like, listen, here's the situation. I know you're busy. I know you have vendors and partners you work with in your role. I don't know how many you have. I was like, so can I ask you how many vendors you work with in that role? And he's like, well, I have like 11. I was like, okay, great. What if I did you a favor? What if I put something together for you that you can just look at and personalize? It'll take you 15 minutes. You put the list of those 11 people together, and then I'll personalize 11 emails for you, and you just have to hit forward and get rid of my name, and you can send it to them. Would you do that for us? That's all we're asking. It'll take you about an hour, and that's it. And we're not going to bother you. I'm going to give you a role, put your name on something, and we're going to do those 11 emails, and you're done. He's like, I can do that. Took another month to get that done. We get that done, and the guy raised $80,000.
Wait, now, what? Really?
Yes, because he's in the right seat, and we saw the seat he was in. He could help us, and he didn't know he could help us. So now he's so busy, The next year we said, listen, you were so impactful. We want you to try a little bit more this year. And we were very careful in how we approached him. And he raised $150,000 the next year. So he quietly raised $250,000 in less than 12 months for this organization. And if no one had saw what the opportunity was, he would have continued to sit there just being a board member, you know, thinking he's helping, not really doing anything. And now we were able to show him what he could do. So it's really taking the one-on-one time or talking to the, you know, the who introduced that volunteer? How did we get this person? Who's the one who introduced us to this individual? And what is the background? What have they done before? What's their connection to our mission? And understanding that to figure out, there's other people who are really passionate about social media. And you're like, you know what? Let's have them do something on social media that can help our mission. And what is that for your organization? If it's health related, maybe it's some of these groups that are online on Facebook, on Instagram, on other channels, and going on and being, if you're a member of that kind of community, you can communicate about things that are happening. Whereas a company like ours, or maybe the staff of the organization, is not allowed on those groups. But you, as maybe a patient or a student or something, you're able to participate, and you can kind of share your voice there, which in turn would be sharing our voice as the organization, right? So I'm saying a lot now, but these are just other ways to incorporate.
Yeah, I love the, you know, round pegs and round holes and square pegs and square holes. So would a good place to start would maybe be a survey, like listing out, identifying the areas or the needs and as specific as possible? Because it sounds like the best way to engage is to really empower, like, we're going to write the email for you. You just have to hit send, right? We're going to give you the social toolkit. We just need you to message it in a group, Facebook group, or on some type of social media. So I get what we need to do to empower them, but do we start with maybe a survey? Like, this is what we need. Where do you feel comfortable, or where your skill set is? Is that a good first step?
I think that's a wonderful step, Dawn. I think it's a great idea. I don't know if we've really done that effectively, but I think it's a wonderful idea, and I might steal it, honestly. I think some of it does have to be done one-on-one, but I think there's no harm. And I think there's probably a lot of positive, you know, a lot of gain potential if you can get something out to the masses, if you will, with a very brief survey. It has to be like five things.
Right.
And a very clear message on top. And there are like five ways you can get involved. If anything interests you, let us know. Click on one of the five things below. And then you'll at least, first, most people aren't going to respond, right? But then the few that do, now you have an additional list of people you can reach out to and get to know.
Yeah.
So I love that idea, Dawn. Really, really well laid out.
Because I hear it both sides. I really do. I do hear some complaints on the nonprofit side, you know, my volunteers, my board, and I get it, right? You know, they've signed up for a job. Nobody forced them to sign up for the job. And so as a nonprofit, we have a lot to do. We just need you to help, right? But then I also hear on the other side, it's not that they don't want to help. They just really don't know how, right? They don't know what to do. It's, and so we do need to bridge that gap with some of the things that we're talking about in order to get them active. So how would you walk volunteers through funding sources, let's say, you know, so they, everyone has a network of some sort, right? Wherever your network is, whether it's through email or social, we all have a network, and we want to try to leverage our volunteers' networks. So how do we walk through our volunteers through like the funding sources? Because after all, that's what we do, fundraise.
Well, I think one thing we do have to always keep in mind is that they are volunteers. So they have a day job, most likely, and not all of them, but most of them. And yes, they'd like to give back, which is rare, right? In general, most people don't do that. So you found someone who's willing to give back. Now, they may not be great as being a volunteer, but they want to help. So now it's kind of our job to thank them, help them, like you just said, Dawn, like give them the tools they need to be effective. And, you know, some people it's conversation. Some people it's materials that they can look at so that better understand. Oh, here's that. I like to give examples. That's why I'm big on examples, because when I share that example of that board member, you know, you see people like, really? Wow. I didn't like how did that guy not know? And I'm like, because nobody knows unless you show them, because they haven't done it before. This is new. And they're also not thinking that way. So I'm thinking that way because I do that for a living.
Yeah.
They're thinking like what they do for a living, which is that guy is security guy. His job is like technology security on a major stuff. Mm-hmm. He's not focused on how to raise money from people. He's not even thinking that way. So it's getting them in the right mindset, giving them real life examples of things that happen in your organization. It have to be, now some examples like that could be, well, that's too much money. It blows me that, and they're turned off by that. So you have to be careful. You have to give multiple examples of things that they can maybe relate to. And then better understanding them, you can give examples that make the most sense for who they are and where they sit. But you don't know who's got an uncle, a friend, an aunt, a sister who's got a high powered job or has a private foundation that the family set up that no one said anything about. I used to do it when I volunteered in my 20s, and I was very involved with diabetes research. And I was my day job, I'd mention my involvement with my volunteer work. So I always tell the volunteers, tell people what you do when you're not at work. It's impressive that you volunteer your time. Share it at a work meeting, share it amongst friends, share it at a client pitch, because first you'll gain credibility. Second, they may actually have a connection to what you do. Third, they may say, oh, my family has a private foundation and we do stuff like this too, because they don't want to feel like they don't do anything good. They want to let you know what they do that's good. And then you just found out that there's a funding source sitting across from you in that meeting that you could talk to. So I'm a big fan of talking about giving back to everyone you can, and more doors will open. That's a big thing.
You know, I think most of our audience knows that I run a small nonprofit alongside my daughter. She started a nonprofit when she was 14. We've been at it for 6 years. And I'm always surprised, Darren. I am always surprised in the giving. There's people that I just didn't expect to give that come up with the big donations. And that's probably because I didn't take the time to find out who I was talking to and what potential fundraising sources were available, you know, in their networks, or how passionate they were about the mission and the willingness to help. And I'm always surprised, and I shouldn't be, right? Like if I was doing a better job helping my daughter in development, I would be doing exactly what you're saying. You just need to have those conversations and find out who's in front of you. So I really appreciate what you're saying. It totally works. It's totally out there. But let's get to the psychology behind why I'm not doing that. Is it fear? Like, am I afraid to ask for that financial support? And is that what you're seeing going on? And any advice for our audience to overcome that fear of asking for financial support? Which sounds funny to say because we're fundraisers. So why do we have that fear? But I don't know. Can you address that a little bit?
Sure. Well, I think that what people have to understand is people want to give back. Not everyone knows how to give back. Some people volunteer. Some people write checks. Some people, you know, make donations. And nobody writes checks anymore. But people make donations. And if you really look a little deeper, people give to people they know who are involved with causes. They may have their own personal causes, but the other people they give to are the people that they know and trust. And if Dawn's involved in an organization and it's important to Dawn, then I'm going to support it because Dawn's a friend and I want to help Dawn because she's taking time out of her day to do something really good. I may not have the time to do it, but I can definitely support her financially. So I'm going to do that. And what I think people, like you said, Dawn, they are afraid to ask. I was afraid to ask. It's really funny. It's happened to me the other day, and I do this for a living. And I'm sitting there with this client who I've worked with for this charity partner of ours for the last 5-6 years. And I know actually one of these women for like 12, 13 years, and she's a brain cancer survivor. And I was like, you're being recognized this year. You need to step up. you need to make a donation, a serious donation, and you need to invite some people. We got to, you know, as much as you're asking others for money, you need to set the tone here. This is a big year for us. And I need you to step up this year. And she's like, okay. And I was like, why did it take me 3 years to have that conversation with her? Because she was the patient. So I didn't want to ask her, but I was like, she needed to be asked. And she was like, I know, you're right. I got to do this. So sometimes you just have to ask, and they're not going to hit you or anything. If they're not comfortable, they'll say, I'm doing all I can do. And that's okay too. But at least you ask, so you know you don't have to sit there and say, should I have asked her or not? And in this case, it worked. And now we're trying to figure out how to get more of her contacts involved, which we've always done. But this is nice that she's doing it. So now I can even bring it up when I'm talking to these other contacts. Yeah. This individual and her husband decided to make a larger gift this year to make a statement, because that's how important it is and how urgent the situation is. So sometimes you got to spell it out for people. And
yeah, I don't think I would have asked either. I think it would have taken me double the time to get the nerve up to ask. Yeah, it's interesting. We pick roles and then shy away from the role at the same time. But I'm glad you asked. It sounds like it's moving in the right direction. So when you work with a customer, one of your clients, do you call them clients or customers, Darren?
I try to call them charity partners, but sometimes I slip and call them clients. But I like to call them charity partners.
Yeah. Okay, then I'm going to do that. We'll call them charity partners. So when you're working with one of your charity partners, how do you prioritize volunteering and leveraging their volunteer group as you're working with them? Because we wear lots of hats, right? We've heard that so many times. Wear lots of hats, limited resources, so much to do, things fall by the wayside. How do you get your charity partner's mindset to prioritize the activation of volunteer groups? Big question there.
Yeah, it's a big question, because there's a lot of different pieces of it, because there's volunteer groups that are you know, hands-on, you know, on the ground kind of volunteers. And then they're if we're talking fundraising volunteers, then it's understanding, if they're doing it around an event, it's understanding, well, how are we going to get to, I always like to work backwards. So where are we trying to get to at the end? Well, we're trying to raise $500,000. We're trying to have 300 people in the room. We're trying to do this and this. Okay, so to do that, we need to have an event that has honorees, that has co-chairs, that has a committee of volunteers. And all those people are volunteers, right? The honoree, the co-chair, all those people are playing volunteer roles for the organization. They're not being compensated for their role. So I look at all of those people as volunteers. And I think, Dawn, you may have seen this. I feel like I did something for one of your One Cause sessions on this. We create an organizational chart where I then figure out, yeah, what do we want it to look like at the end, and then we try to find the people that we can put in the roles, and then it's clear what the role is. So, you know, Dawn, I'm asking you to be a co-chair of this year's event. Okay, what does that mean, Darren? Well, it means that I'm asking you to do X, Y, Z, and really spelling it all out, laying it out for them, walking them through it, supporting them, and making that lift as easy as possible so that they're not overwhelmed by the name of it, right? Mm-hmm. People get scared when they hear certain names. And then if I'm talking to a volunteer that we put in the honoree role, or who do they know that we don't know? Like, we want to find new volunteers, right? We're always looking for new volunteers. And then on the other side of it, if within our staff at the charity partner, who do they know that we don't have involved with the event that we should have involved in the event? Oh, we have this amazing lady. She's fantastic. She's real busy, so we don't see her very much, but she's very generous throughout the years. Have we ever got her involved in the event? No, we've not. We've never got her involved in the event. Could we get her involved in the event? Sure. Maybe it's worth a conversation. And then, you know, it's that is some of those are some of the steps that we take. It's like trying to better understand who the staff knows, who, and then from the people that are identified, we try to find at least one to two other volunteers that they may know. And who might be in positions of power and or in a position that they have a direct connection to what we're doing, what our mission is.
Yeah, I love that organizational chart. Thank you for reminding me. I remember that you presented that in a webinar, and I think what I'll do is dig that up out of our content archives, and I'd like to put it on the show notes for this episode. Sure. Together with some other resources. And to our audience that's listening, you know, Darren and his team do so much to help you drive your impact. You're going to want to talk to him and somebody from his team. So I'm going to link it all in the show notes, how to get in touch with Darren, some of his resources and content that he's produced. And we'll get you just a click away from getting in touch with Darren. But a couple more things I think we have time for, if you don't mind hanging out with me a little bit longer, Darren. What is the role of gratitude with volunteers?
I assume you mean thanking them.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's so important. It's not done enough. I mean, I get mad at myself on a regular basis that I'm not doing it enough. You can't thank people enough. There are so many different ways to thank people. So there's not like a quick answer on that, but you can't do it enough, I think, is probably the one thing I will say to that. And I think you got to do it your way. So every charity partner is different on how they thank people, but it's really critical that the thank yous come from within the organization. I can thank them 100 times till Sunday, but you need to thank them, and you need to, you know, send them a little note, send them a text, call them, maybe send them, you know, if they do something really important, send them flowers after the event because they were so fantastic. They're not expecting it. They're going to be surprised and blown away by it. And handwritten notes, you know, are still a thing. And because so few people do it now, it's even a nicer thing. So, you know, sending a picture from the event with a little note saying, oh my God, this was such a great picture of you. What an impact you had this year. Or sending stats of what a difference having you involved made. We want them to feel like I feel so much better about myself because I volunteer for this organization. And you know what? They're going to come back if they feel that way.
Yeah. And how much do you think, I think I have two more questions. I probably have a dozen more questions, but we only have time for a couple more. Is some of this getting into the peer-to-peer space when you start looking at your volunteers and activating them? Could you leverage like a social peer-to-peer type program? Does that work? Is that something, do you recommend going that deep?
Yeah, it does depend on, well, on which side of it, on the thanking the volunteers or raising
money? Oh, no, I switched gears on you. I'm sorry. I'm off of the thank you. Yeah, just, leading as a funding opportunity.
So on a funding opportunity, I definitely see, it doesn't fit in every event. So that's the challenge. But I was on the phone yesterday with a volunteer that is helping out with an event. And I realized that they have just know so many people, but small level people. And I said, we're going to set up a individual fundraising page for you, even though that's really not what the event is, because that's a way they can just tell tons of people about it. And I told them to separate the list. I said, I need you to identify the top 10 to 20 people that have potential to give at a high level. Let's remove them from that other list. And then let's do a mass push to the thousands that you know through social and other channels. But let's really identify the smaller group for a larger ask and a little more personal ask. So yes, there's definitely always, it's a great way to do it. You just have to figure out how to fit in. It doesn't always fit into a lot of these events that people.
Yeah. Want. Oh, for sure. I'm so glad that you said that because I personally like fundraising pages. And, you know, I really need to shout out, shameless plug, I'm so sorry to our audience and to you, Darren, but to our product and engineering team here at One Cause, we've been very intentional about the innovation that we're developing here at One Cause. And that's a strong place for us. We've really built out fundraising pages to the nth degree, if you will. And I love that because I know for myself, my husband and I, you know, having a son with special needs and a very overachieving daughter, they keep us very busy. And we don't get out that much, really. And I can't attend events and I can't volunteer and I can't do the things that I might like to do. But you know what? I could spin up a fundraising page and I can push it to social and ask my friends to help. So I love the power of that. And I love that we're starting to, I think, blend events and peer-to-peer fundraising or a peer-to-peer light, if you will, and adding fundraising pages. So I'm so glad that you said that. And I'm definitely going to send this podcast episode to our product and engineering team who just put so much into it. So that's good to hear. And I think
we love working with One Cause.
We love working with you too.
Yeah.
All right. So my final question, I keep saying my last question, but this is really my last question. Okay. So how do you help your charity partners speak to their honorees and help them understand the role? I have so many times, Darren, and I don't know if this is your experience. Tell me, maybe I'm just the minority here. I hope that I am. But the honoree really thinks that they're being honored. And they are. They wouldn't be at the table if they didn't do something special or unique or unusual, but they have a role to fill the room, to spin up their personal fundraising pages, to make that event a success. And I sometimes think they're missing that message. Do you find that as well? And how do you help your charity partners make it clear to their honorees what their role actually is?
Yeah. Well, I think it's critical. It's an amazing point and something that we deal with every day, including yesterday.
Really?
So what we do is what we highly recommend is we try to have an internal call before any honoree is approached. Sometimes I haven't even signed with a charity partner. They haven't signed us up yet. And I'm like, don't ask the honoree yet. Please wait.
Yes.
Because they don't ask the right way. And then you're behind the eight ball.
So it starts right with the ask, huh?
The ask is the first and most important piece. And what we did is we had a pre-call yesterday with two of the board members who know or have access to the big honoree, very wealthy individual. And then one of them pointed out the impact that person has made, that effect that ties to the mission of the organization. And the other was comfortable with making the ask. And we said, well, you're going to have to ask for money as well. And we're going to have to make sure they understand what the responsibilities are of this role. So we went through it. We made some adjustments to our internal sponsorship forms, literally on this pre-call, because we want this person to know we could give as much as 100. We have that as an option because we didn't have it as an option when we started the call. So we changed this form because this person has the capacity to do that. So we literally adjusted our forms for that conversation. And they're not going to show the forms on that call, but they wanted to know that they could share that. Well, and then one of the people on the call is someone who gives a lot. So he's going to say he personally supports at X level and that it's really important that in that role And then another thing is sharing an example of 2 years ago, our honoree did X, Y, and Z. $100,000 to $200,000 in donations between personal, it's a give or get situation. You got to be clear from the beginning. And if they don't want to accept it, that's okay. Because if they accept it and they don't do anything, you're totally in a bad spot.
Yeah. Okay. So it's all in how it's positioned in that very first meeting, call, ask, and
have
get
the right
some help.
People on the call. People.
And I love the examples. I love the example, you know, because I hear a lot of words, but give me an example. And I'm like, oh, okay, the light bulb just went off. So, because I have been at so many events where the honoree just really thought it was about them and being honored, which it is. And I don't want to take it.
They just have to help. Also, it's not like they can't not do anything. It's a fundraising event. You have to say it's a fundraising event. Do not say that. You have to say it's a fundraising event.
Or we can just call you and you can guide us through it. And
we can do that.
We could be a charity partner with Powered by Professionals. You know, Darren, I wish we had another hour because there's so many different directions. I know that you offer so many services and impact to your charity partners. And I think I am going to have to do a series with you, but it's event season, so I'll wait till event season is over. It's hitting hard and early this year, isn't it?
It is. It's
crazy.
Next 3 months.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful that you took the time from your schedule to join us. We're going to get all your links and contact information into the show notes, because I know our audience is definitely going to want to connect with you, and we'll keep the conversation going. I'd love to touch base with you over the summer when things quiet down just a little bit. But Fearless Fundraisers, that's about all we have time for today. I'm so sorry. I know I probably cut this off midway when you wanted more, but we can have Darren back as much as you need, or you can just call him and that would be easier. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic and your daily dose of fundraising inspiration. Tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But in the meantime, listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. As I mentioned in the intro, just wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, we're probably there. So please follow the channel so that you can get notifications about all of our new guests. I would like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out at onecause.com. And please visit our resource tab on the homepage. There's a broad catalog of content. It's all free, and hopefully you'll find it helpful. A huge shout out and thanks to my guest, Darren Port, who is the CEO and founder of Powered by Professionals. I can't believe that you've been up and running and in business, Darren, for, well over 20 years. You're almost coming up on your 25th anniversary. We have to have a big celebration, I think.
You're invited, Dawn. You'll definitely be there.
Thank you. I want to be on the A-list there, please. But I appreciate your expert and authentic voice, especially in the middle of or the beginning of event season. Just thank you so much for being with us. I always enjoy my conversations with you, but I do have to ask, any last words of inspiration, Darren?
No, I really thank you, Dawn, for being out there. And I would just say to the audience, don't be afraid to ask. Say thank you to those volunteers. And then get to know them so you can figure out how they can best impact your organization. And good luck. And if you ever need anything, feel free to reach out. Happy to jump on a 15-minute call, answer any questions you have. And thank you, Dawn, again, for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with One Cause and with you. You're very good at your show.
Oh, thank you so much, Darren. Well, we'll get ways to get in touch with Darren right on the show notes, so you don't have to go far. And it's definitely worth those 15 minutes. So thank you, Darren, again so much. Please say hello to everyone at Powered by Professionals. I miss them all. And for now, that is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.